This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Sandy Tan. She is the CEO of Optimax Holding as we unpack how this eye specialist service provider has grown from strength to strength. 27 years in the business, you know, over 200,000 patients. How has vision correction changed in the past 20 years?
Actually, vision correction has changed tremendously since we started the business back then in 1995. We started off as a refractive surgery center. So with refractive surgery center, back then, the technology was the PRK treatment. So with the PRK treatment, we look at technology and how times have actually evolved with technology. So back then, right, you only can do one eye at a time. Mm. And the surgery is actually quite painful. And the recovery is 6 months as compared to what we have today from femto LASIK to relaxed smile. So with the relaxed smile refractive surgery treatment, right, it's immediate. And the whole surgery takes only 30 seconds per eye for the laser to penetrate and, you know, to get perfect vision is only 30 seconds. But of course, the checking takes some time, but the recovery is immediate. The patient can literally drive home right after surgery.
What shifted and made it so easy, right, compared to where it was, you know, 20 years back, where you could literally do it in just under a couple of hours? What has happened?
Technology. How technology has actually bring in the latest trend and, you know, make a lot of surgery much more painless and less invasive. So we Optimax are very focused in bringing in the latest technology that we can get to actually benefit our community to actually when they want to seek for, you know, eye specialist services, not just refractive surgery. I'm also talking about eye checking and also cataract surgery and other eye diseases and also pediatric eye care.
Help us understand like the time it takes now to do a surgery, you know, how many hours does it take? Like I come in, I check in to your clinic, and how long does it take for me to get out?
For example, if you're coming in for a refractive surgery,
yeah,
right? So for a refractive surgery, you come in at about 8 o'clock, get your eyes checked. After your eye check, we take about 2 to 3 hours. So the eye check part is the part where we might take a longer time because we want to ensure that we have the correct calculation and the correct measurement. So once we have the correct calculation and the correct measurements, you will be in our OT room. The surgery is only 30 seconds. Right after surgery, you're good to go.
So I'm out before lunch then. I can book my lunch appointment,
yes,
essentially.
You can have your lunch.
I see.
Right after surgery.
So with this ability and this technology in place for you to turn around and, you know, do these operations very fast, safe, seamless, how many patients and operations can you do in a clinic a day?
We can do about 10 to 15 a day.
I presume everybody has very different varying levels of severity over their eyes. And so the technology you have helps you discern and decide very much. But that requires a huge amount of capital expenditure. Was that the reason why, you know, you went into the ACE market 2 years back?
One of the reasons why we actually ventured into the ACE market is because we wanted to, you know, be in the eye of the public. We wanted people to know more about, you know, refractive. Actually, it's also part of an awareness that we want to bring out to the community that, you know, Optimax has been in the market for the past 27 years. And, you know, we have been doing eye checking, all this taking care of your eyes, make sure that, you know, you have the perfect vision. And the awareness of you coming in for your eye check yearly is actually very important. Because the thing with eye is, it's different from when you do a blood test or you do a, you know, a full body checkup. So when you do a full body checkup, you will only find out whether you have cholesterol or you have, you know, high blood pressure, liver issue, but all these can be reversed. You have time to reverse all these issues. Mm. But with the eye, right, if you don't do it yearly, and by the time that you walk in and you realize something is wrong, we can only fix there and then. It will only remain as it is.
You can't reverse it. And very interesting take, you know, on why, how you access capital markets and why this access is core about bringing your brand, your business to greater visibility and extending the conversation. And also, I think, adding a sheer of, I guess, viability and recognition to the brand as you enter into more credible equity markets, I presume, right?
Right.
So you raised about 21 million ringgit in the last IPO and you already used nearly all the capital. Half of it was allocated for capital expenditure. What did you use the money for? What was the CapEx spend deployed?
So the money mainly was for technology, Like I mentioned, we have bought the refractive surgery, where we are bringing in not just only in central region, but in southern region and northern region as well. Next is our expansion of our ACC center. We have a look. We have actually identified Bahau as one of our up and coming ACC center, as well as four more satellites clinic, which is coming up by Q3 this year.
How do you pick a location? How do you pick a center for expansion?
Yeah, so how do I pick a center? For example, Bahau. Like what we have in southern region, back then we are only in Johor Bahru. We weren't in the outskirts of JB, like places like Kluang, Segamat, Muar. So this area, right, actually have no eye specialist services. People that lives in Segamat, Kluang and Muar, they actually have to travel all the way either to JB or KL for eye specialist services or for any healthcare services that are not available in that particular region. So with the presence of our brand presence, for example, in Kluang, I say in Kluang. So when we were there, right, it was just immediate that we actually get to serve the public already in Kluang, the resident in Kluang, because it's so convenient. They don't have to travel anymore. Everything is just, you know, walking distance, like maybe five minutes away from their house, and things are much more convenient and easier for them to, you know, get their style of services.
You give the example of Kluang, which is in the southern region, Johor side. 60% of your revenue is in the central region. Yes. Is the strategy going forward to double down in the central region or to expand and diversify yourself to the northern region and the southern region? Because there's a lot of opportunity there, but the income levels and the propensity to pay is in the central region, no?
Correct, yes. At the end of the day, 60% is from central region. So from central region, we are actually opening up more satellite clinic to bring in more patients to our main center. So with satellite clinic, right, we can actually help to ease out the people from our main center to satellite clinic. Like for example, the yearly eye checking, the post-surgery checkup, all can be done in the satellite clinic. So satellite clinic will be somewhere near residential area.
Yeah.
So what we have picked is residential area, so that it's very convenient. So every year when they want to do their follow-up eye checking, they can always just go to satellite clinic, whereby they wouldn't clock my ACC center. And ACC center, which is our bigger center with our OT facilities.
What's the business model for the satellite clinics? Do you own the satellite clinics or are you leasing it or just having a relationship? You own it?
Yes, we own it.
They're really like a filter of all these patients who visit. And then if they need to do more sophisticated surgery, they go to the ACCs.
Yes, correct.
So is that strategy very different between central and the northern southern region, where you actually have to start from scratch, isn't it, for those parts of the markets which are not so familiar to you yet?
So far, we are doing actually pretty well in the outskirts of the smaller town like Segamat, Kluang and Muar, because there is no presence of other eye specialists and the demand is there and the aging population is there. You see? Yeah. So when aging population is there and our presence is there, it makes things much more easier for the elderly to travel and get their eyes checked and get their eye surgery done. Yeah, instead of them traveling in and out from KL, and you know, how many of them can actually, you know, their children, how many of them can actually bring them in and out, you know, post-checkout 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, and every year. So once we are there, right, it actually makes things so much more convenient.
Would you expand overseas?
Of course, there's a very good potential, but we are still looking and still exploring. But once we are firm, we will definitely announce it.
If you were to pick core markets to go overseas, which would be your priority markets?
Every market is actually pretty potential, you know. Most of the Southeast, I'm talking about Southeast Asia, they're all full of potential. So we just need to find the right partners and find the right synergy. As long as we get the right partner that has the same, you know, mission, vision and vision as Artemax, then we will be in terms with them and see how to expand further.
Which explains a very interesting MOU you have with Sina and Compass in Johor, right? It is going to be a key access point for Singaporeans to come and do surgery there. Was that part of the intention, to basically build your Johor presence to actually take some of the Singapore traffic and markets there?
Yes, indeed it was. And because we actually have our clinics, ACC clinics in places like Muar, Segamat, Johor, right? So this will also churn in our patient flow to our Compass Hospital in future. So with the Compass Eye Specialist Hospital, we are not just only going to look at the local market. On top of our local market, we're also looking at the Singaporean that comes to, you know, for surgery and eye checking services.
And just dissecting your financial numbers, really decent numbers, I have to say. 12% margin, revenue is up 50%, of course, although the baseline was the pandemic. What are the biggest cost challenges you have for the business? I presume labor, manpower is going to be a big concern, right? It has increased quite a lot as a percentage of revenue. How are you mitigating that? How are you reducing and managing your labor cost?
Okay, as compared, like for labor costs, right, the numbers that we have, we see that there's an increase of labor costs recently, but this increase also increase of our revenue. Mainly, we are not a product. We don't sell product. We sell services. Mm. So as long as my labor costs increase, my revenue increase. Giving services, doctors are performing surgeries, my optometrists are performing all the eye checking, and our people are doing all the... You know,
but it is going faster. It is growing faster than your revenue, though, because like in 2017, it was about one third of your revenue, staff costs. Now it's gone up to close to 40%, right? That is one of the biggest challenges you have.
Because we are opening up our satellite clinics, we're all up and coming. But before we actually open our satellite clinic, we have to ensure that we have the people in first for the training, you know, make sure they know what to do, you know, when they were all by themselves in the satellite clinic, and how they actually turn the patient around. So with that, we have actually have our crew of optometrists already in our clinic, as well as doctors to be ready for our satellite clinic and our expansion for Baha.
So listed in ACE, August 18, 2022, raised 21 million, spent all the money already. You are on course to be transferring the listing to the main market, right, by end of this year, really in just 2 years, pretty remarkable feat. What's your expectation of moving to the main market?
We do hope that we can bring, you know, to be honest, we are really grateful for our investors that has been supporting OptiMax since we enter ACE market during the pandemic. So with that, with the ACE, we're going into the main market. We just want to, you know, prove it to our investors that we are on the right track. We are giving up the right services. We are doing the right thing so that we can expand further.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Sandy Tan, CEO of OptiMax Holdings. After the break, we discuss how the participation in the vaccination program has impacted their bottom line. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we're in conversation with Sandy Tan, CEO of OptiMax Holdings, and she's in the hot seat as we talk about the expansion of their eye specialist service centres across Malaysia. You know, Sandy, you were giving an example about elderly and about the Kluang facility, that you were a huge beneficiary of the ageing population in Malaysia. How significant do you expect your demographic and customer base to shift towards an older segment?
Thanks, Philip. So with the older segment, we also see that the aging population is actually increasing through the times, and everybody needs a eye specialist checkout, especially when you age. That's when you start to have blurry vision due to a cloudy lens. So every time when somebody reach the age of, you know, 60 and above, usually they will have to experience this problem with their original lens, meaning their original lens has already turned yellowish, cloudy. So the only way to move forward to enhance their, you know, their lifestyle is to get their cataract surgery done. So with OptiMax, we are here to actually help this group of patients to get their perfect vision.
So how does it shift, right? Because in the past, you started off with refractive surgery. How much expansion do you expect cataract surgeries to grow for OptiMax, right? What's the percentage of the business likely to be in 5 to 10 years' time?
Okay, to me, right, because we've already been in the market for 27 years. So before this, those that have done refractive surgery with us 27 years ago are now our potential patient for cataract surgery, right? Because when they were then, you know, maybe they were at their early 20s. So after like 20 to 30 years, they're already at the range where they need to get their, you know, certain eye checking done, and also to ensure that there is no cataract. So once we started as a refractive surgery. So our patient has been with us for the past 27 years for their annual eye checking to ensure that, you know, their eye is at a very stable stage after refractive surgery. So automatically this group of patient is already our patient for cataract, you know, and their families, their parents, their grandparents, or you know, their children, in fact, are all already part of Optimax family. So to me, I felt that, yeah, the population is there, and we also see that people nowadays are much more educated, they are much more aware. Everything is, you know, you can search through on, you know, online. Everything is just one click away. You can get all your information, all your research through, you know, Google and all of. So with this, we know that as long as they do the right research and the correct word of mouth, at the end of the day, patient will still always come back to Optimax.
So we talk about the elderly, and you make a very interesting reference that you want to have patients for lifelong, and there's no better way to start them when they're very young. There has been a lot of research coming out that, you know, the next epidemic really is short-sightedness among the kids. You know, right, I have a nephew, they're at home, they're looking at the screen, they hardly go outdoors. Really, eyesight is becoming an increasingly problem for the younger generation, young kids, right? What is Optimax's strategy to penetrate and pursue, you know, the younger population? Because we've been talking about aging population as a natural advantage for Optimax, but how about the younger group?
So for the younger generation, actually, it all started when I became a mom. So when I first had my daughter 7 years ago, I started to realize that, okay, I need to make sure that, you know, she has a perfect vision, and I want to make sure that with the vision, it won't cause her to have any delay in her learning, or, you know, for her to get to know things and see things. So 7 years ago, I come across optoptics, which is optoptics that really look and focus into children eye health and eye checking. So that is when I ventured into optoptic back then, when I was a mom, and I tried to make sure that, you know, all my kids, my nephew and my cousins all get perfect vision at a very young age so that it won't affect their learning curve or learning activities in future. So with this strategy at the moment, we are actually talking to schools, we are going into schools, talking to teachers, and telling them that, you know, children must have their eye checked before they enter kindy or they enter primary, either the first stop at kindy or the first stop at primary, so that all this learning, because we send our children to kindergarten for them to learn, right? But if they have problem with their vision, they will not be able to catch as much as, you know, for somebody that has perfect vision, with someone that have blur vision. Some people may think that, oh, maybe it's speech therapy. Why are they not communicating? Why are they not showing sign of their learning? But actually, not just speech therapy that is one of the main concerns. The next biggest major main concern that it might be that they don't understand and they couldn't get to communicate with you is the problem with the eyesight.
So Sandy, when I listen to you, it all sounds like investments. It doesn't really sound like a business proposition in the short term. Is that fair to say that, you know, when you go out to the schools and you go out to all these places to encourage them to do eye checks, that's not where all the margin is, isn't it? That, well, correct. This is just investment, perhaps for some future return in business. Is that fair?
Yes, I can say that. So in future, so what we do now is we actually check children to make sure that as young as 6 months and above, 6 months old, to make sure that they have perfect eyesight, and we have their records with us since they are 6 months to 1 year old. And every year we actually give them a report card. The report card is for them to come back for their eye checking every year to ensure that we control their powers. If let's say they have myopia or astigmatism, we can actually control their power using auto-K contact lenses, and our optoptic will do certain tests and certain practice for the children to come to use on, you know, even on glasses, certain glasses to help them control their power in future so that they won't have power like, you know, 1,000, like or layman term, you know, sometimes you have 1,000 power, but without your glasses, you literally can't see. So we want to try to avoid this type of problem in the younger generation. And with that, we are also present in Kidzania since the pandemic. We wanted the kids to have the awareness that, you know, while you play, you need to make sure that, you know, you take care of your eyesight, the importance of your eye. So we actually brand ourselves with the children. So when they grow up, every time when they think of eye checking,
it's Optimax.
They know that, oh, it's Optimax. I want to go back to Optimax. I have my report card there. All my yearly result has been with Optimax, and I want to make sure that my power is still, even for parents, they will know that, okay, their kids are in a very good and healthy, you know, the condition are all the way.
really, the strategy is very clear, from cradle to grave. And I get the logic of why you invest in the younger generation, and you know, you hope to build a relationship, and which really struck me. Because Optimax was really one also of the leaders in pushing and working with the government to roll out the vaccination program throughout the pandemic. What was the rationale behind, you know, rolling out the vaccination program? Was it purely CSR, or was there also an intention to kind of build a relationship with people and awareness with the brand?
Actually, it's everything. You see, because during the pandemic, right, we fall under the essential services. No matter what, because we're essential services, we have to open our doors. Our clinic has to be open. We have 13 clinics nationwide. We can't just open and with no patient and only cater to emergency patients. Mm. See, we are frontliner. Our nurses are there. Our doctors are available. So instead of not doing anything, why not ease
sweat asset
to, you know, at least we bring, do our part. You know, as Optimax eye specialists, we can play, even though it's not a very big major part, but we managed to jet 450,000 patients through the 2 years period that, you know, when we adhered the vaccination. And with that patient, actually, when people come into Optimax, they know who we are, what we do. And, you know, I think with this, we actually do bring in a lot of awareness and branding assurance to a lot of new coming people that, you know, they have never heard of us before.
Yeah, I think you were very clear that, you know, it's purely, yes, I'm doing a service for government. I'm trying to make a difference and, you know, accelerate our vaccination program. But there's also a business benefit from that, right? There is a huge customer database you are able to extract and create a brand awareness with Optimax. Is that fair?
Correct. Yes.
Are you seeing the results of that now? Are you seeing people who used to get vaccinated now come to you for eye surgery, eye correction?
Yes, we do. That's why the numbers for this few months has been amazing. And we are looking forward to that. Yeah.
2022, better than 2019? By how big a margin?
I really can't tell. We are still monitoring. You see, the trend is really out of our, you know, out of our prediction. The trend before pandemic and the trend after the pandemic is totally different. And, you know, back then, we don't have a very high volume in our first quarter. Usually, the first quarter is much slower, and then boom comes in, and, you know, at the very end of the Q3, Q4. So this year, exceptionally, the first quarter has been doing pretty well, and we hope that this will continue the next few quarters.
You know, I'm sorry to do this to you. I know you're a very young CEO, I think 34, 35. Sorry to betray your age now. Apologies.
Not that young. Oh, I wish. Thank you.
No, you took over from your father. Your sister is a CFO. I'm wondering, what kind of dinner table conversations are you having at home? Is there a lot of tension? What's your advice to those where, you know, family members live together and also work together?
To me, right, this is a blessing. You see, I'm actually exposed to Optimax since I'm at a very young age. I actually follow my dad around when he goes to, you know, meeting with all the ophthalmologists or the GM back then, right? I used to call them uncle, aunties, and, you know, and now they are actually like...
They have to call you the boss now.
No. I was like, hey, like, you know, when I first joined, I still call them, hi, uncle, hi, auntie. And then, you know, suddenly, you know, because I started as, when I first joined Optimax, it was, you know, during my school holidays, I was the customer care, I was running around, helping around, talking to patients. I mean, maybe this is something that I have always liked to do. I'm a people person. I like to communicate, and I really like to talk to people so that I get to learn a lot from them. So vice versa. So I think to me, it's a blessing that I really get the exposure at a very young age. And I know about this since I was like 12, 13 years old. So yeah, the exposure is there. And then, you know, sometimes, yeah. So this is, to me, I think is a great deal of a blessing. And of course, there is pro and cons. Of course, I mean, when I grow older, there's some disagreement in things and, you know, but we will talk it through. Mm. It's my dad at the end of the day. Much easier. The access is easier.
Ultimately, he is just your father. Thank you, Sandy, for all your time today. On The Breakfast Grill, I'm with Sandy Tan, CEO of Optimax Holding, and she helps us understand how Optimax has grown from strength to strength. I'm Philip C., BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.